Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad that you're here, as always, to kick off the weekend just a bit early in the best way possible with some fun Disney talk. Pam and Ricky are going to join me today. We're going to talk about some recent policy changes that might affect your next Walt Disney World vacation and some other topics as well. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less Travel is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for their amazing guest experience and also hustling for each and every guest to get them the best value out of each and every trip. Whether you're headed down to Walt Disney World, out to the West Coast, to Disneyland, sailing with Disney Cruise Line, or even in Adventures by Disney, they are the best of the best. So drop by their website, themagicforless.com. Browse around, see all the specials, see what's going on. And then while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away. Make sure you let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Thank you so much for your support over at themagicforless.com. When you get ready to do some shopping online this weekend, please always click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. And each and every purchase does help support the show. You might not think so, but they all add up, and I really, really appreciate it. So again, please use our link often. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1468 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and the official podcaster of the weekend. I don't know why I said that, but hey, it is the weekend. I'm excited and I'm heading down to Walt Disney World in less than 4 weeks to be a cheer dad, to yell and scream. Let me just tell you, if you've never been to a competitive cheerleading competition, which I hadn't been to in my life before this year. This is Mallory's first year in competitive cheerleading. And let me stress the word competitive. It's ridiculous. I thought Paige's select soccer was crazy. No, this is a whole nother level. So we're going down to Walt Disney World. We're staying at a Disney Springs hotel. So that's going to be an adventure. So make sure you follow me on social media. I'm not excited about it per se, because I'd rather stay at Pop Century or All Stars, but whatever. I'm going to Walt Disney World. I can't complain. I'll be there May 1st through the 6th, getting to check out being a spectator parent over at ESPN for cheerleading. Now, her squad is undefeated for the past 2 years. She's only been on it since this year. So there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of stuff going on. You don't even know the practices, how intense they're getting in this month leading up to going to Summit, it's called, down at ESPN. But anyway, when it comes time to, when they get on stage, what happens is when your team gets on stage, actually when you're getting ready to get on stage, you know the order of the performances or whatever, the parents of that team have to kind of stand in a bullpen. You're in an on-deck circle, but there's 100 of you. And then when your team hits the floor or the stage or whatever, I don't know what they call it, so you get up in a mosh pit, in front. There's seats in the back, but there's a mosh pit right in front of the stage. And apparently it helps the judges if you make all kinds of noise and you act like a fool. And the mom scream, the dad scream, you're throwing little kids, siblings. It's the craziest. I don't know if you throw kids, but you hold them up high anyway. It is ridiculous. So if you're going to be down there 1st of May, because then Worlds happen after the Summit, which Worlds is the highest level of cheerleading. It's the college girls and guys. And it's ridiculous. It's there's a TV show with the Great White Sharks from Canada. They're the best team ever. Whatever. I know way too much about cheerleading. I never thought I'd know this much. But anyway, I'm just telling you, if you want to go see something nuts, crazy, go over to ESPN the 1st of May and watch one of these competitions, because I thought I'm just a spectator and I'll be sitting in a chair, kind of like at a ball game, cracking some peanuts and having a Coke. No, I'll be up there. I'm going to have to you got to wear black and gold because that's their colors. You got to have a platinum shirt on. It is crazy. So if you want to see me act a fool, even more than I usually do, ESPN, May 1 through 6, I'll be there. Anyway, long story, getting ready. Less than 3 weeks. I got to, be in shape for this, just as much as the girls. Anyway, Ricky from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Long story, fun weekend coming up. What's going on, Ricky?
Yeah, it's a fun weekend. I am getting ready to get on a red eye. So I can't believe I'm doing this. I am going overseas tonight. Like, what is this life?
I can't believe you're running a full marathon over in Paris.
Yeah, I'm not, but Brian is. So I still can't believe this is happening. And it still doesn't feel real. And it won't feel real probably until I like land in Heathrow. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm going.
You totally got to tell me all about this because you're a Missouri kid just like I am. And I mean, like, I don't know if we're really built for international travel, but it can happen. So I'll be excited to follow the adventure.
It can definitely happen, and it is happening. So, I'm glad that we're landing in an airport where they speak English, which is nice. Because, you know, someday I do want to go to Tokyo, and I want to see, you know, Tokyo Disney, Disneyland. So that's the bucket list. But, this is a good first jump for that, I guess. So, super excited. I will have pictures from Disneyland Paris. So that's exciting, too. I'm going there for 3 days. So that's super. I still can't believe I'm doing this. I'm sad. I missed the Armageddon show, which just closed on the 1st. So, or the 31st or whatever. No, I'm not really sad. I missed the Armageddon show.
Do you want me to sing the song to you?
No, it's okay. Please don't.
I can't close my eyes.
Yes.
I don't want to fall asleep.
But yeah, so I'm stopped. I'm also super bummed that Phantom Manor is still closed and I am heartbroken. So I am missing Phantom Manor, which is possibly the best haunted mansion of all, minus Mystic Manor, which I, you know is pretty awesome too. But I'm so bummed that that will not be open during my trip. And like, they just keep pushing it back, the refurbishment. They're like, okay, now it's going to be this month and now it's going to be the next month. And I'm like, no, please.
Yeah, but that Space Mountain looks pretty sweet.
Oh my gosh, man. It goes upside down.
I know. And it's got that tube on the outside thing, that launch.
Right now it's Hyperspace Mountain. Oh, so that'll lucky. Be fun too. And they have an Indiana Jones coaster. And I get to ride it from these credits to an adventure for the first time. Okay, no, that's not what it's called there. But I get to ride that before it gets to Epcot. So I'm excited about that too. So
most importantly, you know what Brian's going to do at Mile 19, right?
He's going to tell you there's no shame in quitting.
No, he's going to wee-wee.
Oh, jeez, no.
Can't believe you fell for it twice.
Stop. Yeah. I can't believe my head.
It's France, Ricky. It's France. Anyway, also joining us, who's actually been to France. She could tell us how it all is. We have Pam Forster, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam? Happy Friday.
I have. I've been to Disneyland Paris as well. And you'll really love it. There are things about it that are just so quaint and like plus and remind me so much of Disneyland in some ways, and it all sort of feels familiar, but it all feels very different too. So
yeah, I'm so excited,
you know, so great. It'll be fun, and you'll be able to do, I don't, my favorite thing was seeing the Eiffel Tower at night.
I can't wait.
It was such a cool thing, it really was. And you know, some people were like, that's so touristy, and I was always like, you bet. That's exactly what I mean.
I'm a tourist, but that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've seen it on Soarin', do you really need to see it in person?
Yes,
I mean, I feel like I've been there. You know, I've like flown to the top, and I mean, why go? You know, like I've been there.
I'm going to climb it, so I'm excited.
Yeah, just like the pyramids in Mexico at Epcot.
No, I'm not climbing those.
You're one of those Americans. Anyway, all right, let's get to today's topic.
No,
you're going to have a great time.
You can walk up in the Eiffel Tower, you can walk it.
Okay, I thought you were talking about scaling the outside, like one of those spider persons.
Scaling the outside.
I'm just saying, don't do that. They don't like Americans that do that. All right, anyway, let's get to today's topic. First of all, we're going to kind of divide the show into two parts. We got a great email from a listener, which we're going to tackle here in just a few minutes. But before we get to this, we want to address a couple of, actually there's three. One's kind of minor. It's kind of funny. But major policy changes that have changed down at Walt Disney World that may or may not affect your future vacation. So first of all, you've probably heard this. I'm sure you have by now. But we want to have a little time to digest it. But we want to get this out there in case you had not heard this for some reason, that Walt Disney World has banned smoking in all of their theme parks. So Ricky, do you have the official word from Disney? Because now I think they're pushing you outside the theme parks if you need a smoke break.
Yes. So First things first, this does not go into effect yet. So this goes into effect beginning May 1st. So smoking and vaping. So please keep that in mind. If you vape, you also are included in this. I know a lot of questions have been asked about that. Neither one of those will be allowed at any Walt Disney World or Disneyland, theme park, water park, or ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex.
I won't be able to vape while I'm cheering for the cheerleading thing. Oh my God, because it starts May 1st. That's when our competition starts. Ironic.
Yeah, no vaping for you. So there will be designated smoking areas available outside the entrances of these areas. And at Disney Springs, apparently you can smoke, but there's just going to be designated places to go. So you can't like walk around, but there will be places to go at Disney Springs. In addition, there will be designated areas at the Disney Resort hotels for those who have room or dining reservations. So yeah, you're going to have to go outside the theme parks if you would like to have a smoke or vape break.
So Pam, had you, and that's good, you know, appreciate the actual information, because I was a little unsure about like what actually was happening. You know, I knew it was the theme parks, but we've got the water parks, Disney Springs, kind of a little bit different situation, ESPN. So Pam, obviously we were moving this way. You know, obviously that's kind of how the trend is with public spaces in general here in the United States. But is this going to affect too many vacations? I guess it does. I guess it matters if you're a smoker or not.
You know, from what I've heard from a lot of people was they had reduced the number of smoking locations down to like, you know, one or two per park. And the walk to get to there from most locations of the park was going to be probably about the same as it is by just going outside of the gates. When you think about it, there's a lot of places that will be closer to the entrance of Magic Kingdom than the actual smoking locations were. So it's something to think about. And I think that it's just sort of in line with Disney's overall policy on, you know, moving that way, creating a space that's safe for families and things like that. So,
yep. And that
this, this will not be the case when I'm in Disneyland Paris next. By the way, they just smoke everywhere, apparently. So,
we'll see. Yeah, let us know, because I never thought about that, because it's a cultural thing, you know, and I think that, you know, here in the States, there's a huge move to, you know, air quality and secondhand smoke and stuff, you know, and I'm a person who's just, you know, I don't smoke, but I'm very much a, you know, let people live and, you know, let me live and I'll let you live and do your thing. I'm just going to trust, you know, I do what I do, you do what you do, but we'll see how this falls. I'm not, you know, passing judgment or making any kind of statement here. Just want to get that out there. Now, second policy change. Now, this one I will kind of address. So there is a new stroller policy regarding sizes, and I say thank you, Lord, for this one. This is just me, but go ahead, Ricky. What's this new change?
Okay, so beginning May 1st, once again, strollers can be no larger than 31 inches wide and 52 inches long, and those that appear larger will now be measured. So just keep that in mind. You can't sneak in a, you know, a little bit larger stroller anymore. Also beginning May 1st, they will not allow those stroller wagons. Now, they had initially gotten you're not supposed to bring in a wagon, but these stroller wagons had been kind of sneaking through. Yes, I guess that's the best way, because they were able to be pushed, not pulled. So that was kind of the stipulation on why they didn't want wagons. They didn't want something people were pulling. So the stroller wagons you could push, so they were, you know, allowed. That will no longer be the case either. So the stroller changes are being made to help ease congestion in the parks as well as help with guests. So that's the reason behind the changes.
And I've always wondered like what the rule was, because that was my biggest pet peeve, was those wagon stroller things, you know, the big rectangular prisms that kids are sitting in, and usually kids are not sitting in, but people are rolling around with like everything in the kitchen sink, you know. And I understand, I have a kid and I used a stroller, but I mean, I think that what you're going to see is, you know, at first we got my story. You know, when we got, when we had Mallory, we registered obviously for all the baby stuff. And I registered for like a Jeep stroller. Cause I was like, I have a Jeep Wrangler. There's a Jeep brand stroller. They make strollers. And it had like the big tires. And it was like a, you know, like I was going to go four wheeling with my, you know, 6 month old in a stroller. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, oh, I need a Jeep stroller. You know, like it was, and we never used the thing cause it was just a bear to get out of the car. And it was a pain in the butt. So we went and got a really nice umbrella stroller by McLaren, which was a really expensive one. But we used the crud out of that thing because it was super light. It was super small. It could lay back. She had a little cover. Like, it had everything we needed, but it was tight and just convenient for what we needed. It became our Disney stroller, and it was awesome. But I've always wondered, like, what the rule was, because it is kind of like a stroller. Kids ride in it, but, like, it's totally a wagon. Like, but, I mean, I guess it's the push-pull thing. I don't know, Pam. I think that, you know, as the parks become more crowded and space becomes a premium, this had to happen. And I mean, I'm with Disney on this one. Like, you know, there's no problem with people having strollers, but I think, unfortunately, some people go a little bit too far. And I think that's what happened here.
Yeah, I think it did too. It really was getting to the point where people were, you know, they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and there was pushing and there was pulling and everything. So I think we kind of got away from what the original rules were in this space. You know, it's funny. I had heard one of the Disney executives speak at a conference I was at once, and he was talking about he brought his grandchildren in, and the rule was you didn't bring a stroller. And when somebody cried, it was time to go home.
So, that's hardcore.
That's not something that all the rest of us can do because we've traveled thousands of miles to get there, right? But at the same time, there's a little bit of value in figuring that out. I think if that, you know, Disney rents those big double strollers, right? You can put a whole bunch of stuff in. And well, they're
practically wagons themselves. Let's just really,
they're big. And then you can also, within the confines of the allowed strollers now, that still fits many double strollers. So I think that that will still give people an option to, you know, use that as it was. Anytime there's change, there's going to be people who are elated and people who are upset. And all you can do is, this is the rule at this point. So let's find a way to work within those rules.
And I think it was just time. I mean, the parks are just more crowded than they've ever been. And I get that. And I'm glad Disney can't ban strollers, because I needed a stroller for the first bunch of trips with Mallory. Because the thing is like, it's just even, you know, here's what I advocate for with strollers, just kind of a little tip that we learned. And again, it's not anything ground shattering, but we just learned this with Mallory, was that, because I think that some folks that don't have kids will say, why do you have a stroller? Like, that kid can walk. Like, there's no reason for that stroller. But here's a couple of things you need to consider if you're thinking that and you don't have kids, or you just, you know, your kids are in college or whatever now, that a lot of times the kids aren't used to having the stamina to walk, you know, 6, 7, 8 miles. Yeah, they can walk, but they get tired, and it gives them kind of a safe place to go back to when they start to get tired. You can push them around. And what we did towards the last couple of trips, when Mallory was kind of, do we need a stroller or not? We'd take the stroller into the Magic Kingdom or whatever park. At the Magic Kingdom, we'd park it up by the plaza, or, you know, up by the plaza restaurant, or, you know, where you meet Tinkerbell and Mickey Mouse, up in that little area. We'd leave the stroller there. We'd go on without the stroller, but if we needed it, it was in the park. I could run up there, grab it. We could use it for the rest of the night. If we needed it for a couple hours, it was there. We picked it up on the way out of the park, on the way, you know, if we were leaving, didn't need it, we took it home with us. But it was there in case we needed it. But yeah, I just think that, yeah, these things were getting to be too big. I mean, too big. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with double strollers, but like these wagons, you know, sometimes it's like you see like an 18 wheeler coming down the road, but then you see like an 18 wheeler that's got the extra trailer hitched to it, and it's like a train. Like, that's what this is becoming. Like, seriously, like. Well,
and you had those specialty strollers then too, of, you know, ones that look like Cinderella's carriage and stuff like that. And I'm just like, is that necessary? Like, I mean, I know I don't have kids, but like, do you really need to tote your kid around in a stroller that looks like Cinderella's carriage? I mean, I get
it's
that you're
cool,
a Disney, but like, I don't think that's necessary. This is huge. This is taking up so much space.
And let me just say, I've seen full-on adults curled up in the fetal position in a Disney rental stroller, and they fit. Yep. They fit. Full adults on New Year's Eve, and they're just kind of there. Anyway, let's get to a more fun topic. So that was kind of just, oh, and the third thing, Disney's not allowing you apparently to bring in ice in coolers anymore. And so I was trying to think about the logical reasoning for this. And here's what I came up with, because I don't think they really said why. And but because they said once you get into the park, you can ask for ice at the quick service locations. They'll give it to you. I think what it is that the security guards have to search, you know, bags and stuff. And I mean, think about it. If you're a security guard and you got to stick your hand in the ice multiple times, like, it gets cold. That's what I'm guessing. Ricky, is that the reason that for searches?
Absolutely. I believe the reason that they're doing this is because you can bring in ice if it is in a Ziploc bag. So if you need to keep things cool that way, because, you know, not they did say, like, you can bring the little, you know.
I think there's a restriction on that, though, just saying. The size, like, of the bag.
Does it have to be, like, a gallon-sized bag?
I've heard a gallon, and that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know that Disney has put out an official, but I have heard a gallon.
A gallon makes sense. Like, that seems like a decent-sized bag to put ice in. Anything bigger than that seems a little excessive, but hey, who knows. So that at least you can have ice that way, like if you needed to keep things cold. Because if you are staying at the resorts, and you know, they did talk about the, you know, the ice packs. Well, you can't freeze an ice pack in the fridges that they have there. So you can still go get ice from the ice machine, though, and put it in the Ziploc bag, and then put that in your cooler. So you're still okay there. Again, keep, you know, that the size idea in mind. But yeah, I think that mainly it was mostly because of security reasons. I mean, you know, they have to search your bag, including the containers of coolers. And, you know, if you're trying to hide something in a container of ice, I can easily see where they would be like, no, I want to make sure that there's nothing in that container. So at least with a Ziploc bag of ice, they can kind of shake that around a little bit and see, okay, there's nothing in here, you know. But, you know, if you stick your hand in ice, I mean, that's no fun. So, you know, and I know that a lot of people are worried about the fact that it was because people were dumping ice and slipping on ice cubes. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I really think that it's a security reason, and that plain and simple makes the most sense. You know, I know that people can still dump ice out of their cups, you know, if they, you know, really wanted to or whatever. So not as much ice comes out of the cup, obviously, but, you know, if they really wanted to dump ice, they still can. I'm almost certain it's for security purposes. That's what makes the most sense to me.
And there is one exception to the rule. It's if your name is Vanilla, you can bring in ice.
Stop! So I'm just saying.
You know, I think it was funny. Like, a lot of people were saying, well, I can't freeze my ice pack in the Disney Resort refrigerators. And I was sort of like, well, I don't know that Disney, like, that their job is to provide you with a way to freeze your ice packs. Like,
what Disney said on the blog was that you can bring in those ice packs. And
exactly.
So
I get that.
That's what brought up the idea of, yeah, I mean, Disney's not, doesn't have to provide you a way to freeze the ice packs.
That's
but
what I mean. I thought that was weird.
I think people are upset because they're like, I would go get ice from the machine and put it in there, you know, while they're on vacation. And now I can't, because I can't bring my ice pack in either, because there's nowhere to freeze it. So I get where the frustration.
I get, but it was an ice machine. For, like, you to have a drink.
Yeah, that's true. It was actually the rooms.
Yeah,
to
be honest, it wasn't a cooler filler upper.
Yeah, that's so, true. I mean. But it happens. Just, you know what? You know.
I'm not saying. And Disney, I think, has been. Look, there are places that you go, amusement park and ballpark and otherwise, where you can't bring in
any
outside food.
Yes, I'm so glad Disney allows us to bring in food and beverages.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think that they've gone out of their way. It just was the whole, like, well, I can't. Disney hasn't provided me a way for which I can do this. So, okay, well, all right then.
Yeah, they definitely didn't need to provide. There's a little
like store located right outside the gates too, where you can snack up on granola bars and, you know, everything right there, right before you get on your Disney bus.
All right, that's it. Stop. Collaborate and listen. All right, that was Sean. Okay, so we're getting on to the topic. And Ricky, she's coughing and sneezing, but she's muted at least.
Right.
So I don't have the email pulled up because I have a couple other windows open. But basically, and Ricky, when she gets done sneezing and coughing, we will get the listener's name that gave us this idea. We're just going to briefly hit on this for about 15 minutes because we want to hear what you have to say on the Facebook page this weekend. Basically, she wanted to know from the three of us, what our, you know, our ideal day would be like at Walt Disney World. Just certain components of a Disney trip. So let's start off with money's no object. We're going down, and we get to pick one Walt Disney World resort to stay at just as of today. All right, so Pam, you get to pick any resort. We're not talking, you know, we don't have a budget in mind. Just kind of, you know, we're just daydreaming, blue sky in here. Where are you going to stay if you get to pick any resort you want right now?
I'm going to stay at the Wilderness Lodge, and I'm going to stay at one of those beautiful Copper Creek cabins. There was really something about that was special. The fact that it felt like your own little house sort of on Disney property, I think was really neat. You could sit out in that screened in porch. You could use the hot tub.
I watched the fireworks from the hot tub. Hot tub, man.
I mean, you know, not a bad gig.
No.
Right? There's always been something about the Wilderness Lodge that I've really loved. I truly love Geyser Point. I just think it's a great location. It has great options. It's just my kind of place. And guess what? You can't make advanced dining reservations. So boom, all the things in my favor for that. But I like the Wilderness Lodge. I love that lobby and the music. I mean, we've talked about this all a million times. And the Copper Creek cabins are just an extension of that. And I also am someone, when I'm on vacation with my whole family, I really appreciate the luxury of extra space. So sometimes having that that kind of space is really cool. But yeah, loved those. Love those.
That's actually going to be the one I picked, but I'm going to have to go with my second pick because it was just, you're right. I mean, it's like, you wish your house was like that, you know, like you're living there for the time that you have that cabin, and it's amazing. The location, everything is amazing. But I mean, just how the actual unit is decorated, how the actual unit is constructed with the vaulted ceilings and the rustic look and the hot tub right outside your door there, screened in with the boats going by back and forth through the Magic Kingdom. Amazing. I mean, it's one of those things you just have to relish every second that you're there, because it's the ultimate. Like, to me, it's the ultimate place I could ever imagine staying at Walt Disney World. I loved it. It was a really cool opportunity. All right, Ricky, are you with us?
Are you going to make it?
Okay, you're with us. All right. Where are you staying?
So, since Pam gave such an amazing answer that I'm jealous I didn't think of first, I mean, it really is the perfect answer, to be perfectly honest. And I'm jealous that you have stayed there and I haven't yet, because it sounds so amazing. But I'm going with the Polynesian. I do love the Poly. It is such a great resort to stay at. It has that relaxed vibe, and you've got just the smells and the feel of the resort. It's got a great pool. It's got a hot tub that I love to sit in and just kind of relax. And it's such a fantastic resort. And there's something about being at one of the original Walt Disney World resorts too. So if I'm not staying at the fancy Copper Creek, I'll stay at the fancy Polynesian.
Sounds good to me. All right, mine is going to be the Boardwalk. And this is so weird because, again, I've said this a few times, that the Boardwalk is probably the last resort that I ever wanted to stay. You know, like I would read all the, you know, reviews and everything, and I thought, oh, Beach Club, yeah. And I don't, get me wrong, Beach Club's awesome. I'm staying at Yacht Club just because it's slightly cheaper than Beach Club. It was like $30 because I could get both for the 4th of July when we're staying post-cruise. And Yacht Club and Beach Club are like $30 difference. I just went with Yacht Club because it was $30 cheaper, you know, and it's the same, really, kind of just different painting and a little bit of a different theme. You still got the same Storm Along Bay. You still got basically the same location. But there's something about the Boardwalk that it was never on my radar, but now that I've stayed there once, I fell in love with the place. I loved the theming. I loved how beautiful it was. Like, I didn't have a Boardwalk view room, which I'd really like to have at some point just to experience. But I like the clown pool. Scary, weird, but fun. Like that, you know, you're a little closer to the studios. Walk that path and run in the morning around Crescent Lake. I just, that's where I'd stay, Boardwalk. All right, so let's do this. Ultimate meal. So we get to go anywhere for dinner. We're going to go for dinner tonight. And I know this is weird because you might think that I'm going to go, you know, some signature restaurant. I'm going to Olivia's. I love that place. I'm sorry. It's not fancy, but it's my food. So I'm having some buttermilk chicken like we talked about on Wednesday at Olivia's. That's my ultimate Disney, because that's what I'm looking forward to in May and in June when we go back. So, Ricky, where are you eating? Where are you going? Anywhere?
I am going somewhere that I haven't been yet, and that is Chico. I really like the style of food that they have at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, and since Chico is like the signature option there, and I really like am dying to try it. It's on my must-do list, and I just haven't gotten there yet, so that's why I'm choosing it, because, you know, it's still on my list. So, I mean, you know, it's Chico. Hello. It's awesome.
And I'll tell you, because we got to eat there this past year, and it was amazing. Like, it's the whole Disney experience. The food was amazing. I mean, don't get me wrong. The food was the star of the show, but it was like the whole time I was there, because that was the only time I've eaten there too, was I was constantly looking around because the atmosphere, the decoration, it was so just, it took you to another place for somebody that's never been there. And then the servers were just so attentive. I mean, it reminded me of like Apollo kind of experience on Disney Cruise Line, because that's super fancy for me. It was just like that. And then the thing was with the food, when it came out, it wasn't just like, oh, here's a chunk of meat and here's a side, you know, on your plate. It was, you know, it was kind of getting like Cruise Line, where the presentation looked beautiful and the dessert, I don't even know what it really was, but it looked like a bird nest or something. And it tasted amazing. Like this bird nest that kind of melted in my, I was like eating a bird nest, but it was like delightful. It was amazing. It was sweet. It was some kind of candy. I don't know. It was just such a cool experience. And it was just, it fit perfectly with Animal Kingdom Lodge. I loved it. So good call there. So Pam, what about you?
So I would go, I think, to California Grill, and for much of the fact is it just, I've had so many great experiences there that, you know, I want to keep going. I want to keep going back, and that's part of the memory for me, that every time we go there, I can remember, you know, all the great experiences that we've had there. Just, they have great wine, great drinks, great view, great appetizer choices. There's always a great appetizer choice. Sometimes like the appetizers and salads are so good that like Steve and I end up doing, we split an appetizer, we split a salad, we split an entree. And if we have room, we make it till dessert, because their desserts are absolutely fantastic. But when you're talking about, you know, something that has not only these artisanal, you know, pizzas that are, you know, of some kind of elaborate concoction, but also they have the sushi and everything else, and they have such great entrees too. And again, to be able to just end the meal, or at some point during the meal, go out onto that catwalk and see the fireworks, I think that's a really unique experience, and just a great experience at Walt Disney World. So that's where I'd go.
I love dreaming like this. And I know our listeners do too, because I think this is what you do, say like on a Tuesday afternoon, you're at your desk and you're thinking, oh, my next trip's like still 4 months away, or my next trip's like 4 years away, whatever it is. You know, we all, you're listening to the show for a reason. You love Disney. You need a little escape. And I think that's what we always do. Like, oh man, if I was, oh, tonight, Olivia's would taste so good. Because I know I'm going to have Taco Bell here in just a little bit, but I mean, I could definitely go for Olivia's instead. So I'm just saying, that'd be awesome. All right, let's do this. This one shouldn't take too long. You get to pick a Fast Pass, Dream Fast Pass. You're going to any attraction, anywhere. I'm going to take, for my one Fast Pass, Ultimate Fast Pass, as I dream. Man, I'm going to pass on this one. Ricky, what are you going to go with? I got to think on this one a little bit more. I don't know what it would be tonight.
That doesn't sound right. Okay, well, can I say the upcoming Star Wars attractions?
Yes, because the Fast Passes are booking now, so get there quick.
Yeah, stop!
Just kidding.
But that would be my option if I was choosing things. If it was like my ultimate dream, I would totally choose whatever Star Wars attraction had a Fast Pass available. And it would probably be the Rise of the Resistance attraction, to be perfectly honest. Yes. But since I don't have that as an option,
this is hard.
It is hard, because the problem is like, I personally, I know I'm going to get some flack for this, but I think Flight of Passage is overrated. So I don't necessarily know that I would want to choose Flight of Passage, but I know that the only way I would ride is by getting said Fast Pass. Like, I haven't ridden it since it's been probably a good year and a half at this point. So with how often I go down, that's a long time, to be perfectly honest. But oh man, it's so tough. Okay, I guess I'm gonna go with the other one that's kind of fun and hard to get right now, and that's Slinky Dog Dash.
Yep, that's what I'm going with too. Yeah, that's me too. That's because I'm not a Flight of Passage person, but yeah, Slinky Dog would have to be me too.
I love Slinky Dog. I mean, it's just so fun and carefree and hang on. And I mean, it's just, it's the best. I do love Slinky Dog so very much. So, you know, since I can get fast passes easily at other attractions that are my favorites, like Haunted Mansion or Pirates or Big Thunder or Splash, or I'm just totally naming every attraction, or Rock and Roller Coaster. Like, I feel like something that I can't get a fast pass for very easily is my best option here.
Hold on. Is that what he said? I can't remember if it says hang on or hold on.
Hang on.
Hang on. I love that. I love that little ride. You know, but I was thinking like Peter Pan's like a valuable one, but it's like such a short ride. But so Slinky Dog. But Slinky Dog's new and it's got it's decent length.
Right.
Not a Flight of Passage guy. No. I like Navi River Journey, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm going Slinky Dog. So what about you, Pam? I bet you go Flight, right?
I really do like Flight of Passage. It's actually one of my favorite attractions. I think it's just, again, it's something that when I'm there, it takes me to someplace different. And I'm iffy on, you know, most of the time I can ride it, but there is something about the 3D nature of it that is not, you know, it's not always the best. I also love Slinky Dog, though. Absolutely love Slinky Dog. I think it is so much more than people thought it would be. I'm so glad I reserved judgment on this one until we actually saw what it was. And it is a fantastic attraction. Love that. But I will say, I could just as easily go with one of my old favorites, too. Something that, you know, I really enjoy riding again and again. I am a sucker for Pirates. Always, always, always. I just am. I'll wait in line for it sometimes because I like the queue. You know, I just love that attraction. So all of those, I know I did more than one, but that's I pulled a Forrester on this one because I wanted more than one. So
that's how we roll. And Jeff says he waited. He's in our live chat here. I waited for 3 hours on Friday for a Flight of Passage at 10 a.m. He says it was also a fight in line. So there you go. I mean, entertainment, like, you know, interactive.
There you go.
Yeah, let's call that entertainment.
That's what I call it. It's called an interactive queue.
Oh, my gosh. No.
And then Bob says, let's face it. We all want the fast pass that's already booked.
That's
you're right.
True.
Be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
And then, Jeff in the live chat says that he just got an email AP Galaxy's Edge pass holder preview.
You are such the worst. Mike, stop. It's not April Fool's anymore. Stop.
No, Jeff says he played a trick on a friend saying he got an email for April Fool's Day about the AP preview for Galaxy's Edge, which is not happening right now. It may by the time this podcast comes out, but no, not as of this time. Good, Jeff, props. That's sweet. All right, let's get to this. Let me ask you this question. You get to do one plus experience, whether it's a tour, some kind of like a rental, you know, like a Grand One or an Illuminations cruise, or some kind of experience that you got to add on to your Disney vacation. Pam, what are you going to do if you could pick one thing to really do outside of the theme parks, extra special item for a vacation? What are you going to pick?
I'm doing a VIP tour. It's absolutely, if you want to see the parks and you want to get a lot done and, it's just, you know, it really adds to your vacation and that's absolutely what I could do. And can you tell the light, by the way, I forgot to turn on my overhead light because it was so sunny here today that as we keep going with this podcast, I'm getting darker.
It's special effects. Darker. It's really sweet. By the end of the show, you'll be gone.
It looks really good, Pam. I was thinking that. Oh, Pam looks really awesome right now.
All right. This is the light I need to record in each week. I'm just saying. I'm gonna get my team on this.
Yes, you should.
It does look good. All right. So you're doing a VIP tour. And just real quickly, though, so you can do these with groups. And the more you get in a group, the better, obviously, value it would be. But, I mean, you're getting a lot of perks with that VIP tour guide.
You are. You absolutely are. I mean, you get to do, you know, if it's a private VIP tour, you actually just get to set, you know, the tone for how things are going to go. You can be like, you know what? I want to go to Hollywood Studios and ride Slinky Dog and Alien Swirling Saucers. And then I want to head over to Animal Kingdom and we're going to do Flight of Passage and, you know, that. So, I mean, it's just cool.
Yeah, yep. I agree. All right, Ricky, so what add-on event are you going to do?
Okay, so there's that ridiculously expensive tour that they just added. That's what I'm doing, man. The one that will let you do anything you want, basically.
Is that the one that Len talked about on his show about how he wants to, like, he cracked me up because it's so Len Testa. He said that he wants to do this tour, but he wants to kind of pick the guy's brain the whole time about logistical things throughout the entire tour.
Absolutely, 100%. I am doing the $12,000 experience. I'm just gonna make them take me and do whatever I want, basically, which is awesome.
I mean, $12,000, like, what? Hey, I don't know.
The sky's the limit with this experiment, so I'm going for it, baby. I'm going for it.
You know, the unofficial name of that tour is hashtag There's a Sucker Born Every Day tour.
Who is paying for this tour? I know people are, so I'm just saying. If you
absolutely. I think the biggest segment, one of the fastest segments growing in the Disney travel space is these experiences that you can buy to plus your vacation. Absolutely it is.
So whoever has purchased this $12,000 tour, please email me and I will be happy to go and send tour with you. I'm just saying.
I think they're inviting random folks.
At your expense, not at mine.
I think it's fine to have these tours. And I was kind of, tongue-in-cheek with the name there because, you know what, how you spend your money is totally up to you. And this could be a great value for somebody that, has a certain circumstance, because I'm just a tightwad. I hate to spend $5, that stops my heart to even see it. And like when Sean put that in print, like it does, like get the defibrillator out. Like seriously, because what I'm thinking is, I could stay at Pop Century for like 6 weeks.
Right?
that's how I roll. I'm just saying, that's me. And Alfred says, he'd eat at Victoria and Albert's and do Slinky Dog for $12,000. Yeah. That's, wow. I could make that happen for you for less.
A lot cheaper, to be perfectly honest. But
Bob says for $12,000, Victoria and Albert's is delivering to him. And so it's like, it'll be like Grubhub, but with V&A. I love this. You guys are awesome, man. We have the best listeners.
Experience, definitely. You're going to cook this in here. My pajamas.
Yeah. You know what? So as we wrap this, my ultimate experience, I think, would be getting the grand one, but I want to be the captain and I want a captain's costume. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to look like Steubing, and I want to make sure that for, my ultimate tour that I'm doing around Seven Seas Lagoon, that I do have a Gopher, I do have an Isaac, and I do have a Julie standing by, full costume, and I want the corny 70s joke. And I also need like 3 or 4 special guests on my cruise. You know, I know that most of them have passed away, but I would like to have like a, who was it? Like, who's the Uchi Gucci? Pam, help me out here. Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Charo?
Charo, yes.
Charo. Uchi Gucci.
Yeah, and I need a Leslie Nielsen.
Do the shade.
Yes. I want the full-on Love Boat around Seven Seas Lagoon in the Grand One. That'd be my ultimate experience. All right, so
the Love Boat probably wasn't that much bigger than the Grand One.
It probably wasn't. Yeah, the Pacific Princess. Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Except on the TV. Those rooms were huge.
They were gigantic. Like, man, I've never had a stateroom that was like as big as my living room.
Right?
Totally crazy. So Ricky, did you find the name of the listener who submitted this? Like, who was it?
Morgan. So thank you, Morgan, for this awesome topic today.
So now we're turning it over to our listeners. We're going to have this on the Facebook page over the weekend. So drop by, let us know where you'd stay, where you'd eat, what your fast pass would be, and what your one plus experience would be, because it's just fun. And you know what? The reason I love this is because, again, I'm going down in May and we get to go down for the podcast cruise this summer. And when I hear your suggestions, this makes me think of, oh, I need to eat there. Or, oh, that's a great use of a fast pass. Or, I haven't thought about that resort in a while. I need to think about staying there. So really, it does help us kind of all plan. It's just a fun way to think about it. So drop on the Facebook page, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and leave your feedback there. All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out when it comes time to go to your next Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney. They are the best. They're going to get you a great deal, but more importantly, they are going to make sure that you have a fantastic trip. They're going to be there every step of the way. You're going to have a great trip. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please do support the Be Our Guest podcast through our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Just click through there, bookmark it on all your devices. And if you don't mind, this weekend, we talked about this on Wednesday, please drop by the iTunes store Just go to iTunes, search Be Our Guest Podcast, and if you wouldn't mind, leave us a rating and a review this weekend. That helps new folks find the show, and it just helps keep the show fresh right there on the store. So, again, please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd appreciate that very much. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much, as always, for dropping in. We'll be back again on Monday with an awesome trip report, and I promise no fooling. Back to the normal Monday shows if we got you this past Monday. Gotcha. Anyway, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.